Good morning on this snowy day.
Good morning.
That was beautiful, the praise. That was beautiful. Today's reading is from Psalm chapter 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at right hand, at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. This is the word of God.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord our God, we are grateful for this beautiful day that you've given us. I want to ask that you keep all people safe who might be on the roads or might be traveling. Thank you for those who are here this morning. Thank you for those who are online. I pray that your word will speak to us and that your spirit will open our hearts and our minds to receive your message. May it become part of our lives. May you make it alive in us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we've all heard it. We've all said it. It's the ultimate icebreaker at a party or maybe the first date. We ask, you know, what do you do, right? Usually we're asking about a paycheck, but what do you do? What do you do for a living? What's your job? Or how do you spend your 9 to 5? Or if someone is retired, what did you used to do? You know, what was your job like? Now, for some of us, that answer is our entire identity. And for others, it's just a way to pay the bills. Right? But I don't know if you've noticed that how quickly the answer changes, because 100 years ago, you might have been a milkman or a pin setter at a bowling alley or an elevator operator. Today, you might be a podcaster or a coder or an Uber driver, or maybe a media, social media influencer. So jobs come and jobs go. Now in December of 2023, one of those historic jobs went away for good. The very last human lighthouse keeper in America, a woman named Sally Snowman, by the way, Sally Snowman. She retired from Boston Light after 20 years working there. And Boston Light is a lighthouse on Little Brewster Island overlooking Boston's outer harbor. The lamp at the top of the Boston Light has been automated since 1975. But until she retired, Sally continued to live on the island. She oversaw the maintenance, she kept the watch, she gave tours to visitors. But when she stepped off that island for the last time, the Coast Guard officially declared the station unmanned. And that marked the end, really, of an era. There's something a little unsettling about the word unmanned, isn't there? We love technology, but we crave the idea of a keeper, right? Someone whose only job is to make sure the light doesn't go out, or someone who's on duty while we are at sea. The psalmist, or the author of Psalm 121, says, "The Lord is our keeper." And he says in verse 1, "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? Where will I find help? I think you'll agree that we are living in anxious times. And I think many people are asking that same question today. From where will my help come? Or where will I find help? Maybe you remember or you first learned this verse from the King James Bible, which actually says, I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills from whence cometh my help. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. But in that version, the first verse ends not with a question, but it's kind of like a statement of fact. It says the mountains themselves are reliable symbols of the Lord's dependable help. However, when you look at the inscription above the psalm, it reads a song of ascents. So these words are not part of the original psalm, but rather an inscription that identifies this song as part of an ancient collection. This was one of the psalms the pilgrims sang on their way to the holy city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, like many ancient cities, was built on a hill, which the pilgrims called Mount Zion. And so when you traveled there on pilgrimage, you were going up, you were ascending to Jerusalem, a song of ascent. And for the ancient pilgrim walking the road to Jerusalem, those hills weren't pretty, they were rather terrifying. Because imagine walking on foot through a wilderness filled with bandits and predators, and the sun is setting, and you look up at the dark silhouette of the mountains, and you think, well, what's waiting for me up there? If I trip and I break my leg, who's going to find me? If I get sick tonight, who's going to help me? So from where will my help come from? It's a question born out of anxiety. And it's the same question we ask when we look at our bank accounts, or when we look at a medical diagnosis, or the evening news. Where is my help coming from? Now, the answer for the psalmist is instantaneous and much more self-assured. And he says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. I don't think, you know, keeper is a name for God most of us are inclined to use, but for this wandering pilgrim, it indicates comfort. It indicates trust. So think back to Sally Snowman at the lighthouse. A keeper is a guardian. A keeper is a protector, a watchman. The Lord is our keeper, he says. The Lord keeps us safe. The Lord is our protector. The Lord is our guardian. I believe one thing, you know, we're all looking for is security. And when we look towards the future, we certainly need a sense of security. Because security is one of the great values and anxieties of our age. For instance, we have a Department of Homeland Security pledged to keep us safe from terrorist attacks. We have social security pledged to provide an economic basis for our retirement. The psalmist is speaking of another form of security. In this psalm, he is speaking of spiritual security. And spiritual security comes only from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The God who knit the galaxies together is the same God who's personally manning the station of your life. Now, theologically speaking, it is all about God's providence. And we've all heard the saying, well, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Providence is that certainty that God will be there and will indeed provide for us. Remember the Heidelberg Catechism? It's one of the confessions of the Reformed Church, and it was written in 1563, and it's a confession of what we believe that offers comprehensive instruction of the Reformed doctrine and the Reformed theology, right? It was written in the form of question and answer. And question 27 asks, well, what do you understand by the providence of God? And the answer, it is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which God upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. And then the question that follows asks, well, how does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? And the answer is we can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well. And for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing in creation will separate us from his love. For all creatures are so completely in God's hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. So you see, the opposite of providence is chance, okay? And the world wants you to believe you are adrift in a turbulent sea of chance. That you're just lucky or you're unlucky. But the psalmist's view of the world is very different. God cares about each one of us as individuals. And God is watching over us. And God is protecting us. And you might not always get what you want, but God is going to get you through. From where will my help come? Well, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So Ron Rollheiser is a Roman Catholic priest who writes about spirituality. And he tells a story to illustrate what God's providence is all about. And it's the story of a woman who found herself sitting in the back of a church with a cast on her lower leg. She'd been visiting her sister who lived near a major ski resort. And on Sunday, her sister invited her to go to church, but, you know, she went skiing instead. So what happened? But then, unfortunately, she broke her leg on the slopes that day, okay? So when her sister invited her to church once again, you know, this time she agreed, because she had nowhere else to go, really. I mean, she couldn't go back to the ski slopes. And as it happened, the designated readings for that day were about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And it also happened that the regular priest was away, and the homily was delivered by a visiting priest from Israel. And the priest could not have possibly seen this woman before, nor have known she was sitting there in the back pew with a cast on her leg. And he began his homily by telling of an ancient practice among shepherds in Israel. One, he said, is still in use today, by the way. It's a practice that sheds light on the meaning of the phrase good shepherd. So sometimes early in the life of a lamb, a shepherd may sense that the animal is going to be a congenital stray, okay? That it'll always be drifting away from the flock, where it could be injured or even die. So in such cases, the shepherd deliberately breaks the leg of the lamb, so that he has to carry it himself until its leg is healed. And by the time the healing is complete, the lamb has become so attached to the shepherd that it never strays again. I may be dense, you know, the woman said to herself after hearing the sermon, but given my broken leg and all these coincidences, hearing those words woke something up inside of me. My heart skipped a beat and I realized that my accident was not an accident at all. It was a conspiracy of grace. God was using my brokenness to bring me back to the fold. And I've prayed and I've gone to church regularly ever since, she said. So then Rahlheiser writes and says, in the conspiracy of accidents that make up the ordinary events of our everyday lives, the finger of God is writing and writing large. We are children of Israel, we are children of Jesus, and fathers and mothers in the faith. And we need, therefore, like them, to look at each and every event in our lives and ask ourselves the question, what is God saying to us in this? What is God saying to us in this? The language of God is the experience that God writes inside our lives. So let me ask then, as you lift your eyes to the hills of your own life, the challenges, the unknowns, and the fears, where are you looking for help? Are you looking at your investment portfolio? Are you looking at your physical health? Are you looking at your own talent and your own wits? And those are all good things, by the way, right? But they are not keepers, okay? And one day they will fail to provide ultimate security. Instead, look to the one who made the hills. Look to God who created heaven and earth. Look to the keeper who doesn't sleep on the job. Look to the Lord who is watching over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank you for these words today that remind us that you are in control. Nothing happens to us by chance. That we need to look for your hand in our lives and what happens to us. Thank you for your providence. Thank you that you are the keeper, the guardian of our lives and our souls, and that you provide spiritual security. May we indeed look to you when we're in need of help. We pray for your blessing. And we thank you that you are the good shepherd. In the name of Jesus, amen.